Hello everyone, welcome back to Triple Hopped. My name's Charlie, you can find me on Instagram at CraftCanGang.
And I'm Ryan, you can find me on Instagram underneath Beardy Beerblock.
So this is a little bit of a departure from our normal episode format, but we've done these before. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, a little while, yeah, exactly. We have to work it around you, your schedule, so...
I know, I'm sorry. But we're kind of throwing it back to the roots of Triple Hopped, and Ryan and I have two of the same beers, and we're gonna drink through them, I think, and talk about them a little bit. Yeah, is it like a beer podcast?
Yeah, like a beer podcast. We're actually going to drink beer on it.
Yeah, but rather than just, you know, ask people, you know, which can was their favorite color or whatever we normally do.
Yeah, well, they're both the same color.
So. Yeah, they are. It's very true. Yeah, same three colors.
Yeah, nice. Which kind of might give it away what we're going to drink.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if you're listening to this, you'll have seen the name of the episode, so you'll 100% know what it is that we're going to be drinking. But
yeah,
I mean, that Ryan was a very, very good segue. So why don't you give us an intro to the first beer that we're going to try and have a bit of a chat about?
Yeah. So the first one is a collaboration with a New York brewery called Finback, which I think a lot of people, if not whoever listened, will have heard. Yeah. And this is their collab with the UK brewery Beak, and it's called Self Same. It's a 6.5% IPA, and I think it's got Motueka, Nelson, and Waimea. Is that how you say that?
I think it's Waimea.
Waimea. Cow. That's all right. Waimea. That'll do. Yeah. My pronunciation is crap sometimes, but yeah. So yeah, I've not actually tried it yet. I know you've just had a quick taste. So.
Well, I had it on. At the Finback tap room, and then I had, I think, four cans of it while I was away. So, I'm very well acquainted with this beer already. Interestingly, if you look it up on Untappd, the classification is like IPA New Zealand.
Yeah,
I didn't really know that was a category in itself. It just uses Southern Hemisphere hops. I didn't realize that was a thing, but
it must be something they've added, because it is just all Southern Hemisphere hops, isn't it?
So. I mean, yeah, all specifically New Zealand hops, I guess.
Yeah. But no, that's, I mean, the first mouthful, yeah. I mean, you pour on it, it's perfect yellow in it, the perfect taste that you'd expect. It's good. It's got like, straight away, you're just getting that. You can get the Nelson, it's just popping in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's big and grapey. It's not, like, sometimes Nelson comes off as a bit, it's not perfumey. I call it diesel-y, but I don't really know what I mean by that. It's kind of like
over fragrant.
A little bit too pungent sometimes. But I think it's really well tempered there.
Yeah, I do. I think it's really subtle, isn't it? Like really subtle, but you can still taste it's there. I always get especially on the back, there's that dryness from the white grape, which I always tend to get from like the white wine kind of vibe. But yeah, it's good. A good start that.
I mean, I've got to say, so I had this for the first time 1 month ago yesterday, and that was on Keg in the Tap Room. And as I said, had quite a few cans while I was over there. I don't think it's dropped off at all, to be honest.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know what can in there on mine.
It's a bum. It's a month and a bit old.
Yeah, which is always fine. I mean, I don't stress about can in dates. I mean, it's 4 weeks. Brewers don't make beer to fall off after 4 weeks. So.
No. I'm a little bit of a... I mean, I do prefer it fresher, but, you know, if it's 4 weeks or if it's 6 weeks, it's basically inconsequential, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, like, the actual can art itself is proper cool, isn't it? Like, they actually, Finback have done a good job, like, taking the actual primary colours that Beak use just on a nice white label, and then...
Yeah, it's really classy.
You get a little whale. Yeah, it's a cool-looking can. I like Finback cans, though. They're the ones that you can, if they were on a shop shelf, you know what it is straight away with like the can at the label at the lower of the can.
I think I'm right in saying the head brewer, Kevin, also does the artwork.
Oh, really?
Because I think he was a graphic designer in a previous life. So, yeah, not only does he kind of mastermind the beer program, he also does the labels, which is kind of wild. But all that, you know, a lot of their labels are really, really attractive. And I like the fact that, you know, you can always tell a Finback can because of how much of the can the label covers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the bottom half of the can. And then it's always really cool with the little, they always have the whale in silver, so it looks like the label's kind of got a hole in it.
Has it not got a hole in it?
No, it's just printed on to look like it has.
I thought it had a hole in it.
No, it's printed on to look like it's
actually got a hole in it. Oh my God, I thought it was like a little embossed I'd never looked at it.
Yeah, it's just a printed on. It's quite a cool little thing that they do.
Ah, that's really cool. So in terms of this beer, I mean, you've drunk a lot more Beak than I have because you have their subscription box.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly, you know, fairly au fait with Beak, but do you taste much Beak in this?
I think they've definitely had some sort of influence on the body. You see, it's one of those things, isn't it, where Finback do really good soft IPAs anyway.
Yeah.
So Beak, I don't know if they've... That's one thing that I always take away from Beak beer, is just the bodies are so soft, you know, especially with their core, like Locals and Parade.
Yeah.
Really pillowy, but I'm guessing they've just gone over and if they've put some, well, like we said before, this is like they've actually gone over and brewed this one in New York. It's not just been a web chat. So
yeah,
if not, you know, them probably works with them enough that they've taken some back from Finback for the future releases.
Well, yeah, I mean, they did like a two-way collaboration, didn't they? In that they brewed one at Beak, but slightly disappointing for me in what they actually brewed. I wish they'd have just done a UK version of this.
Yeah, that would have been the perfect episode.
Yeah, that would. Yeah,
we could have done both.
They're not making it easy for us, are they?
The fact that they did a triple IPA, I mean, it seems to be doing okay. The triple, like, I think it's doing okay at the moment. But
well, it's scoring quite well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Statue's calling it, and it's like, it's got a 4.3 at the moment. I don't even think it's even... See, it's not even the same hop bill. It's Galaxy and Mosaic. So they could have... If they'd done a triple IPA version of this, then that would have been fair enough. But the fact that they've just done a tipper and no link... I kind of like the idea of the beers being linked when they do these kind of collabs.
Yeah.
It's like Cloudwater doing a version of Troubles, but doing a different hop bill.
Yeah.
On their version.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's no kind of parallel between them at all.
No. I wonder what the reason was behind it. If they've said anything, why. It would have been good if they'd have just done their version of this IPA, and then we could have, you know, you could have compared what the difference would have been in the body-wise.
Yeah, we could have had some actual science.
Yeah.
A proper science episode. It's been forever since we've done one of those. But I mean, it's
great.
Yeah, it's a tasty, tasty beer.
And it's like 6.5%. It's just a nice, for me, I like that level of alcohol on an IPA. Yeah.
See, I don't think I've had too much Finback in that ABV range, though. Because when Finback comes over here, like, you buy the dippers, don't you? Because, you know, if you're buying them secondary, like a lot of us do, a can can run you quite often, like, between 12 and 14 quid. And, you know, it might be 13.50 for an IPA and 14 quid for a dipper. So, economically, you always go...
Yeah, do you know, to be honest, before we actually... When I bought this can... I didn't even look at the ABV. And then when we've just started the episode now, in my head, when we've been like just preparing before, I actually thought it was a double IPA. I didn't realize it was on 6.5. So when I actually picked the can up and looked before we came on doing this, I was like, oh, that's quite a relief because it's currently 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, it's not a dipper. So that's all right.
No, no, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at, just trying to figure out how many Finback beers I've had and how many of them have been things that aren't double IPAs or big stouts. And, you know, I'm really struggling here. I found four in total, I think, out of the 70 plus Finback beers I've checked in. Oh, wait, there's number five. Yeah, it's just, like I said, you just tend to go for the higher ABV stuff because it's more economical. But also, you know, you've got stuff like that premium can that you've got.
Yeah.
That you got from Brew Export. And that's 7.6%, but they call it an IPA. It's like, it's pretty much a double.
I think the USA is a bit weird, though, isn't it? Like, they call, like, Imperial IPAs what we call triple sometimes. So I know that over half of them, like, 10%, they just say it's just an IPA.
Yeah, it's weird. It is really weird.
But yeah, on a whole, I think that this is a great beer. It's just, like, tasty, isn't it? It's like, this is, I mean, it's like 6.5, but you could see off a couple of pints of this just chilling.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And it was great. Genuinely, it's such a good beer. Such a good beer. I do like that they've started making it onto places like Brew Export now as well. I wasn't quick enough to get the little 3-can taster pack that they had, but
yeah,
next time.
Some big names dropping on that with them guys. And I think it's kind of good in a way that they are just taking all the money for themselves because, like, especially like the recent drop that they had with Parish. They've delivered that to bottle shops, so they are actually supporting the bottle shops as well. So they didn't just take the whole lot for themselves. I think that's quite a good little move. So,
well, they did it with Finback too, didn't they? Because I've noticed some of the Finback cans that they got appearing on Left Field and a few other places.
More intent, like if you're going to go on there to buy Finback you're probably going to add a couple more cans just to do the shipping.
Yeah,
that's
to make
what
shipping
a lot of people
up, yeah.
do. So it's quite good that you're seeing these like USA cans are popping up and people then are picking up UK. It's a difficult conversation also for another day, especially with the breweries that are happening drops in the UK, and but the consumer's allowed to buy what they want. So
yeah, free market, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm so we're going to take a break and move on to the next one then? Or?
Well, I think we better.
Yeah, all right, let's do that one.
Not even finished with this one, though. Welcome back, everyone. We have beer number two, and this is a pale ale from Beak called Yo. Or is it called Yo or Yo Pale? I guess it's just Yo.
Yeah, just Yo.
So they describe it as a bouncy little pale being a celebration of all things Idaho 7. So it's a single hop Idaho 7 pale. As far as I'm aware, I've never had a single hop Idaho 7 beer. Have you?
Not off the top of my head. It's usually one of those hops that gets mixed in as like more of a mixing hop.
Well, yeah, because it's quite divisive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or at least it used to be. It was kind of the, you know, the Sabro before Sabro was Sabro, wasn't it? Like yeah, people either loved it or...
Yeah.
Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, I've tried it, yeah. I think it's pretty good. I think that like, if you were sitting out in the summer and that was on an offering and you were drinking pints of that in the sun, yeah, again, more than happy to drink pints of that. It's getting that kind of like, there's a lot of pine in it, but there's like kind of like that low-key tropical balancing going on. Mm. Like a little bit of like what I get from, but it's obviously not overpowering. It's just, it's nicely carved. Just, I think it's a nice...
we say it's nicely carved after Simon got one yesterday and it was dead flat.
Yeah, sorry, Simon.
Sorry, Simon. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know whether I've just had the wrong expectations of it. You know, they describe it as being bouncy. And for that, you know, I think kind of chewy, but it's more, it is very fizzy.
Fizzy and light. It's not, it really is definitely light. Not bouncy and it's not full on.
Right.
I think it's just kind of that, like, it's easy to drink. I mean, I wouldn't be offended that if I drank another one of them. I think that's fine. You know, yeah. It's just a fine pale.
I mean, for 5%, right, you know, you and I have both had beers that are 4% and under that I think have a better body than this.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't have the usual Beak body. I think they've done, but then again, would that work with this hop?
Yeah, and were they even trying for that? Like, I would guess not.
I think they've just made it's just a carved 5% pale that's just kind of, you know, it's not overpowering in flavor and it's not boozy or anything like that. It's just, I think it's just good. Is it just a good summer beer, that?
Yeah, it's a great summer beer, to be fair. It's kind of like a Radler, isn't it? Almost.
Yeah, it is.
I feel bad saying that, but.
You could drink, you know, if you were out for the day session at the same place and this was on, I wouldn't mind, you know, chilling with mates and I'd have pint after pint of that. And I don't think I'd get bored of it. I think it's just a good drink.
No, it's mega dry.
Mm.
Really, really dry. And also, obviously, listeners won't be able to see this, but Ryan, you can see this, the lacing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know much about lacing, but, you know, people say it's an indication of well-made beer.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then this is very, you know, the tiger stripes on the glass tell me this has been made quite well.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? Like, I think it does the job. I think it's just done the job. I just, like you said, if you're wanting the all like the big thick kind of 5% beer, then there is beers out there. But if you're wanting something that would just be refreshing, I think that's what you just said though. It is quite dry on the end, which would probably mean that you would go through quite a few of those because you end up drinking more to like wet the palate, and then it's dry again.
Oh yeah, I mean you could definitely make a mess, couldn't you?
Yeah,
unintentionally, yeah. But it's not
a beer that's going to set the world on fire, but I think it does its job, and that's what I think they've set out to do. You know, it's just a good pale.
But if I put a gun to your head and I said, you know, it's a beer that's between 4.5 and 5.5, it's sunny. Are you having this? Are you having fog? Are you having rustling substance? Are you having, you know, any of those other benchmark pales?
I think you would have probably something else, but if this was on tap against some maybe other stuff, I don't know. I mean, if I had that, I'd probably go back and have another one.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit harsh, but I think that probably speaks to the quality of Beak in that, you know, when they make something new, it's immediately in the conversation of, does it compete with the best available?
Ooh. But sometimes it's good that a brewery doesn't have, they don't have to go on like every time set the world on fire. They just need to make a beer I think that's the good thing that we've talked about beat quite a lot recently over the last few podcasts. It's well executed and it's good.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's what we said. The quality there is good.
Yeah, I don't really have any complaints about this beer, to be honest. It's different to what I'd expect.
Yeah,
but it's zippy. You could slam a lot of it. Idaho 7. I hadn't really ever thought of Idaho 7 as being like a pine forward hop, but it is here.
Yeah, somehow. Which is weird. Yeah, I think that's what I'm getting. There's like, I think on the back of the can it does say that there's tangerine, apricot, and orange marmalade, and I think there is a little bit of marmalade going on there.
Definitely
on the at the front. It's that kind of like with that pine taste, but the pine's that, a bit the,
it's kind of out. Miscellaneous piney, marmalade-y, resinous.
I always get different notes to what it says on the cans anyway.
Yeah,
that's the thing about everyone's palate; they're just different.
Well, it's like the time we did that mystery beers episode, and but in fairness, I did have absolutely wrecked sinus. But I was like, "Is there Nelson in this?" And you're like, "No." Is there mosaic in this? No. Like, right, okay, I'm just useless then.
Yeah, that wasn't that. I think we kind of bombed on that one. We definitely need to reignite that mystery beer episode at some point.
We do, yeah. I need some more Peppa Pig wrapping paper. Really bring it back. But yeah, I really like this. I think at first I was expecting like, a smaller version of Parade or something, or, something that was a little more outlandish with the Idaho.
Yeah.
But it's just a really good pair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it'd be quite nice to see them maybe do this series, like single hopped pails would be quite fun. Maybe something they could probably do. I like it when Cloudwater did it. It was so good. When
the Cropyear series.
That was just brilliant. Like, because sometimes like you have these beers and when they have like two, three, four hops in, hops get lost. And I think sometimes you kind of need that refresh. It's like a bit like education. Having just single hopped beers. It's so like nice and refreshing sometimes because, you'll probably agree that sometimes you might have on a night, you might, drink four or five cans or whatever you want to consume. But when they're all mixed up hops, they all intending later on, sometimes they don't stand out as much. But I remember when I did the Cloudwater one and you bought like five or six of these cans, which were all different hops, and every beer tasted different, which was obviously it would do, but that was really cool.
I don't think they made the most out of, I don't think any brewery's made the most out of that type of initiative. Like, imagine if you went to the Cloudwater tap room and like you go to an event, which is the Crop Year event, they've got seven taps. Each tap has a different hopped pale ale on it.
Yeah.
And all the glasses have 25%, 50% and 75% markers on. And you'd be like, I want 50% Citra, 25% Mosaic, 25% Galaxy.
That's science school, that, isn't it?
Imagine that. But you could just go up and be like, I want some of that, some of that. And just like, do your own blending.
Who goes, hang on, that's quite a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like, you could actually go and create your own beer on the day. Just like, would that work? Probably, I'll have half a quarter of Citra and I'll have a quarter of Mosaic.
Yeah, put the markings on the glasses.
I mean, that's a... Imagine that for a festival. That would be chaos. That would
be outrageous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think no brewery has really made enough out of that yet. That could be like a real event. Like, Sierra Nevada do their fresh hop thing, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to see, it doesn't have to be Cloudwater. Anyone, whoever's got enough tap, bring out some single hop beers and do a little blending of it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be quite good fun. But yeah, I just think they're like, the Cloudwater thing was brilliant. I just thought they'd bring that back and just do the single hop pails were just... Cause I think as well it was good because there were hops out there like you don't really get single hop things like Centennial and Cashmere. You don't find that. So when you actually go...
What was the other sea hop that you haven't said for a while?
Chinook.
They did. That's one for the OG listeners, that is.
I think they did.
They
that
did.
As well.
They did, yeah.
But I think that was... there's not many people who do like single hops on like Centennial and Cashmere.
Yeah, not on the Seahawks, no.
And it was good that they did that, and it was quite risky, but it was just good for people to... And even if you didn't like it, it's just that education where you can actually try it and go, this is what I should be getting from this hop.
What do you think is the best... Well, it's probably a dumb question because I know what your answer is going to be. Other than Citra, what is the best hop to do a single hop beer with?
Nelson.
Interesting.
I think it's Nelson. I think that's the best new hop. And then Motueka. I think they're the best.
Motueka would have been mine, yeah.
I think that, like, I know Overturn, they do the single hop, like, dippers and tippers, and I think they've been brilliant. Like, when they do the honey versions as well, like the, what was it called? I'm Home.
Oh, I'm Home, yeah.
Brilliant. Like, they have played around the single hop series, And like the Motto Echo one that they did and the Nelson one, the Citra one was phenomenal. Sometimes it's just like, go back to basics and just start running these single hop beers.
I mean, I lost count of how many times I mentioned this specific beer on the podcast, but the Track single hop Motto Echo Dipper that they bought out in January, everything illuminated. I mean, if a top nine existed, it would be in mine still. Like, I barely stopped thinking about that beer.
Yeah.
It was so good.
One that I missed. I don't know that you raved about it, but
that was insane. Really, really good.
But yeah, I think that's one of the things that we can take away from this podcast is that we need to see more single hop beers.
Yeah,
we do. Good off the back of that beer. I think that's good. Like, I like it. It's good.
Oh yeah, no complaints from me. Beak, keep doing your thing. Wonderful. But I think, you know, be interesting to hear what listeners think of them. If they get either of these, probably the Beak Yo more accessible than Self Same, but either way. And also, if you want to hear more drinking episodes, folks, let us know. We shied away from the drinking episodes for a little while for a couple of reasons. One is that my schedule is quite challenging, but also, you know, there are a million beer podcasts where it's just people drinking on there.
Yeah. So it's good to go do something different.
It is. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Back to basics is the theme of this one, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhat.
Amazing. All right, folks. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks a lot.